today's message. God's desire is to dwell with us. God's desire has always been to dwell with us, to be with us. He wants to be there with his arm around you. He wants to be there loving you. He wants to be there lifting you up to greater heights, encouraging you. He wants to be inspiring you with love and goodness. This is God's desire. He wants to dwell with us because he loves us. God created you because he loves you. This was his whole plan. He created you to love you. And his love is undying, unwavering, unchanging. It has not changed from the very beginning. God's love is still the same. And his desire is still to dwell with us, to be with us, to surround us, to comfort us, to hold us, empower us. From the very beginning, this was his plan. In Genesis 3:8, I read, it says, they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden. Back then, the Lord was walking with them in the garden. He was just strolling around right there alongside of Adam. He was strolling in the garden because his desire is to dwell with us, to be with us. He wants to have that relationship with us like that. And so there he is walking in the garden. God is walking in the garden. But now something changed that. Adam turned away from God's ways. He turned away from God's plan and decided to do his own plan. Started to follow his own will and his own desires. And as a result of that, he lost the glory of God. The power, the very power. We see he had the glory of God on him. God had created him with it. He had bestowed it upon him when he blessed him. The glory of God, the power of God. It emanated out from him. Imagine it like light. Incredible, brilliant light emanating from him, from Adam, in all directions. Emanating from Eve, in all directions. They were glowing and bright like a star. They shone. They shone at night. They shone at day. They were glowing in all ways. They glowed. So God could walk with them and dwell with them because his glory was with them. When they turned away, when they changed the path and the plan, decided we're going to go off on our own way, that glory disappeared. You can't have the glory of God if you're not walking in the plan of God. And so the glory just vanished. Imagine one day you're shining bright as a star, and the next day, boom, it's gone. You would feel naked. You would feel lost. You would feel afraid. You wouldn't know what happened. You'd be confused. And that's what happened to Adam and Eve. They woke up and suddenly realized, we're naked. Before, they were clothed with this great light, this warm and brilliant light, which is God's glory and love. And the next day, it's gone. Or the next minute, it's gone. Just like that. Now, God could not walk in the garden with them because they were broken. He had created them to be perfect. He had created them filled with glory. He had created them in amazing magnificence. They were incredibly beautiful. That was God's plan. He had created us like that. But now, the glory was gone. The magnificence was gone. And now, what he had created was broken. And the problem with it now is his glory, his magnificence is so bright, so amazing, that when it comes into alignment with something that is not perfect, it would destroy it. Not that he would destroy it, that the glory would just destroy what's imperfect. That's how glory works. Glory absorbs, dissolves, releases anything that's not perfect. It can't stand in the light. Falsity can't stand in the light of truth. And that's what God is, the light of truth. Goes out so magnificently. But now suddenly Adam and Eve could not stand in the light of truth. So God could not dwell with them anymore. He could not walk with them anymore. Which was very out of the plan of God. God didn't give up though. Because God's desire is to dwell with us. He realized I couldn't walk with him in the garden now because he was different. God is still the same. But now Adam is different. So God had to re-establish, get the plan back on track. This is what he's worked at, getting the plan back on track, getting us back to the place where we are perfect, where we are filled with this glorious light, where we are in this incredible beauty and perfection. That was God's plan from the very beginning. He didn't give up on that plan. No, he knew. He knew what to do about it. I think in a lot of ways, I kind of think of God. God became like the invisible man. You know, the invisible man, if he's not wearing any clothes, you know, you don't see him. You can walk around and you don't see him well. He couldn't walk with them anymore. So it was almost like, you know, he started showing up in other ways. He showed up in a burning bush. You know, he showed up in a pillar of fire. He showed up in a pillar of a cloud. Right? He started to appear to them, but still quite from a distance. You know, but his desire was to dwell with them, not from a distance, but to be in oneness with them, in relationship with them, so that he could love them, because he created them, you. He created you to love you. I don't want to make it separate from you, because it is about you too. He created you to love you. But there he had to dwell at a distance, hiding in clouds so you could see him. You know, hiding in a pillar of fire, in a burning bush. And we couldn't look upon him, because his glory was so incredible that it would consume us. Because we were no longer perfect and glorious as he created us to be. But God's path back to us is an interesting one. At one point, he dwelled in a box. Like a jack in the box, only God in a box. It says in Exodus 25... he's described, and he says, "There I will meet you." They're talking about the Ark of the Covenant. He will meet us sitting on the mercy seat of the Ark in this box, on this box. That's how God got a little closer to us, by being on that mercy seat, having mercy for us, knowing that we made a mistake and we were broken now, but he's going to bring us back. He's going to bring us back, and he's getting a little closer with it. And then next, he was in a tabernacle, a tent. Behind a veil, there was this big, heavy veil that separated people from him, because they had to be separated. So now, in the Holy of Holies, in the tabernacle, there he dwelled. But we were on the other side of the veil, separated. So that we wouldn't be consumed or destroyed. But yet we were getting closer to God. Now he is in a tabernacle. And eventually it became a temple. And again in the temple, there was that place called the Holy of Holies, behind the veil. Nobody went in there except for one priest once a year. He couldn't go back there. And that guy had to be sanctified, he had to be cleansed, he had to be in the best of state before he could step back there, or he would be consumed. The presence of God was there, but man was separated by the veil from the presence of God most of the time. God's desire is to dwell with us because he loves us. He loves you. He wants to dwell with you. But there was a separation in there. It says in the tabernacle, this is in Exodus, it says, "And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them." See, God's desire was to dwell among us. He couldn't dwell out in the open anymore, just strolling through the garden. So he commands them to make a sanctuary. And it was very specific. The measurements and what was in there and everything that was laid out had to be very specific so that it would work. And we had to be separated in that veil. And so here we are in the temple after that, still separated from God. God wants to dwell among us, so now he's dwelling in the temple. He dwelled in the box. He dwelled in the tabernacle. He dwelled in the temple. He's getting closer. He's getting closer. He's got a plan. He's got a plan to walk with us in the garden. And he's getting closer because that's what he wants. He loves you. And he wants to dwell with you.
Amen.
Next, his next way was he came down in a body known as Jesus. Came down in a body. But still, what God had created was broken. In order to fix that, in order to get the glory back, get the righteousness back, get everything back that was created from the very beginning, certain things had to be done. So Jesus, as he walked on the earth, had to fulfill that plan. He had to make things right again. He had to take all of the mistakes, all of the falsities, all of the darkness, all of the sickness. All of these things were created by Adam going off on his own plan and us following along because we were in the same vein. You know, we kind of followed in the same genes, the same seed. But really, when Jesus came and walked on the earth, he took all of those things that were created as a result of that onto himself. So here he is, God walking in the body in order to come down and take all that stuff upon himself. The sickness, the falsities, the darkness. And through that, overcoming it through resurrection, he overcame it going into heaven. And now, the next step was God came in the Spirit. Now God came in the Spirit. See, we were prepared. God had been preparing us, preparing the whole system to be ready to receive to this point so we wouldn't be consumed by his glory. But now when we believe that Jesus had come and fulfilled all things and that we were made righteous through him, when we are made righteous through Jesus, now we can receive the Spirit of God.
Amen.
If we are not righteous, we cannot receive the Spirit of God.
Amen.
But the minute we believe in Jesus, we are made righteous. We are made right.
Amen.
And we now can receive again the Spirit of God unto us. It can come into us now. And where does God dwell now? He dwells with us.
Amen.
The kingdom of God is within us. And now God dwells within us. Say praise God.
Praise God.
This is a great moment here.
Yes.
This is the plan all along. That now God is dwelling within us. It says in 1 Corinthians 3:13. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?
Amen.
No longer a building, no longer a tent, no longer a box or a tree, no longer a cloud or a pillar of fire. No, now he dwells inside of us.
Amen.
God desired to dwell inside of us from the very beginning, to walk with us, to be with us. And now what that means is he has reestablished his glory upon us. We have the glory. I want to go back to these verses that Liza was mentioning earlier today in Romans 8. This talks all about it. And I read in verse 29, Romans 8. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. We were to become the image of Jesus. Jesus was perfect. Jesus was glorified. He was glorified when he ascended. We receive that glory. Jesus was righteous, meaning he never did anything wrong. It wasn't wrongness, it was righteous. Meaning everything was right and good in God's eyes. And God even said, I am well pleased. This is my son who I'm well pleased in. Meaning what God, Jesus was doing was good. It was righteous. By us believing that Jesus did these things and receiving Jesus into our heart, when we say that prayer and say, I receive you, Jesus, I believe this, that righteousness now can come upon us in such a way that it cleanses, the power of God begins to cleanse away all the mistakes and all the falsities are released and wiped out without killing us. Because we are made righteous. What God created is made righteous, and we are his children. We are made righteous. And now the glory can come upon us. The goodness can fill us without consuming us, without destroying us, and God can walk with us.
Amen.
Praise
Amen.
God.
Praise God.
Amen.
Isn't that great?
Yes.
That God can walk with us. And he foreknew this. See, he had this plan all along. This was his plan from the very beginning. He was going to dwell with us. All things are working together for good. There was nothing that was going to stop this plan of God's. There is nothing that can stop this plan of God's.
Amen.
And when we receive Jesus into our heart, now he dwells with us. His spirit is in us. Let me read in verse 30. Moreover, whom he predestined, he also called. And whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. Remember what we read in the verse just before this. He also predestined those he foreknew, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined. So we were predestined to be glorified.
Amen.
That's where we're going.
Praise God.
God said from the very beginning, be blessed, Adam. Adam, when he was created, was glorified. He was glowing bright. He didn't need clothes. He had on this wonderful light suit. Kind of like the 70s. He had this incredible light suit on that shone out in all directions. He had authority and power that God had given him. He walked in the light. He was righteous and perfect in all ways. And we were predestined for that too. Those he foreknew, he predestined to be glorified.
Amen.
See, when we're called, it means we have answered the call of God. Because God calls everybody.
Yes.
But the ones that answer the call are the called.
Mm-hmm.
When we say, yes, God, I want to fulfill this plan. I want to be a part of this. We are called. That's when we begin to walk in. And if we're called, then we become justified. Just.
Amen.
We become right. Righteous. How does that happen? When we invite Jesus to come into our heart. We are made righteous. You are made righteous. You are made right. You are made just.
Yes.
You are made good.
Yes.
When you receive it.
Yep.
You are good. You are righteous.
Amen. Amen.
He foreknew you. He predestined it. You've got it.
Yeah.
And when you receive the Holy Spirit, then he also glorified.
Yeah.
You're made right so that you can receive the glory of God, the Spirit of God upon you. His own Spirit now can dwell with you.
Amen.
And that was the plan from the very beginning.
God
is good. Oh, man. Is anybody getting this?
Yes. Yes. Praise God. Praise God.
You know, this is such a wonderful and exciting thing to know. To know that Adam walked in this way before he decided to walk away from God.
Mm-hmm.
But that when we decide to walk with God and we believe in Jesus, we get right back in there to what Adam had. We are filled with the glory of God. We are filled with the light of God. It shines out from us.
Mm-hmm.
We are made righteous and good. We are filled to the brim, overflowing. And now, we have been designated to go forth. You are meant to go forth now and share that story of Jesus. Share that story of what's happened in your life. Share that glory so that others can be glorified.
Amen. Praise God.
God foreknew them too. Mm-hmm. And when you share that experience with them, they can receive.
Amen.
And be glorified as well.
Yes.
This is the plan of God.
Yes.
This is the plan of God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. This is the plan of God to dwell with us. He can't dwell with us until we're made righteous.
Mm-hmm.
He can't dwell with us until we're made perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus did all that already. Jesus said, "It is finished."
Yes.
It's called his finished works. He worked the works of the kingdom, and he said, "It is finished," when he was on the cross.
Amen.
What's that mean? That means he's already done the work to make us righteous.
Mm-hmm.
He's already done the work to take away falsity and mistakes and wrongdoings. He's already done the work to get us back on the path to glory.
Amen.
And all we need to do is believe in him, have faith in him, and say, "I take it. I receive this gift, a gift that was given to me. That was paid to get me out of bondage, the bondage of mistakes and falsities and errors and problems. I receive that. I receive that gift. Yes. And when I receive it, when you receive it, you are glorified.
Yes.
You are transformed. And you are put right back on the same path that God had planned all along for you to be blessed.
Amen.
For you to be blessed and favored above all. You are blessed, you are favored, you are glorified,
Amen.
You are righteous,
Amen.
You are the righteousness of God,
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Praise God.
Praise God.
Thank you, God.
Receive it. Close your eyes with me. I want you just to, in your hearts for a moment, take in what I just talked about. Adam was glowing and Eve were glowing like bright lights, day or night. The glory of God was upon them and shone around them. And they were magnificent. That was God's plan. God's in there. He's walking around, strolling around in the garden with them because he could without hurting them or destroying them. Adam turns away. But God's desire is to dwell with you.
Mm-hmm.
And so he came and walked on the earth. Got to that point where he could walk in a body. Worked up to it. Now walked in a body. Took all the unrighteousness. Took all the falsity from you. See, giving it up right now. All the mistakes are taken from you. All the wrongdoings are taken from you. Everything unjust is being taken from you. Everything false is being taken from you. Every darkness is being taken from you. Everything that tries to bind or restrain you in any way from stepping into the glory of God is being taken from you right now. Because it's already been taken by Jesus. He took it when he was on the cross. He took it all upon himself. He released it from you. And now that it's taken, you, when you invite Jesus into your heart, invite him into your heart, you receive righteousness. Takes away unrighteousness, gives you righteousness. Takes away darkness, gives you light. Takes away falsity, gives you truth. We're not trying to transform something into something else. God takes away what is no good and gives you something good. It's a trade. It's a good trade when you receive Jesus in your heart. So now, say, "I receive you into my heart, Jesus, fully and completely. And I believe you have made me righteous.
And I believe you have made me righteous.
That you have made me perfect.
That you have made me perfect.
That you have filled me with light and glory.
That you have filled me with light and glory.
As it was predestined.
As it was predestined.
In Jesus' name, amen.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Praise. Woo! I want you to walk out of here today knowing. It's funny that, because we had a discussion yesterday, but this sermon was already prepared. Yeah, this sermon was already prepared, but we had a discussion yesterday that brought this up, so it was kind of interesting. But when you walk out of here today, I want you to be walking in righteousness. Get that in there. You're made right. Not because of something you did.
Right.
Remember that we had the laws or the commandments.
Right.
But we couldn't be made righteous through the commandments. No matter how hard we tried, we weren't perfect. We're made righteous, we're justified, and we're glorified through believing what Jesus did. Through believing that he was perfect, and he fulfilled all things, and it is finished. Through believing that, that's how we receive the glory. That's how we receive righteousness.
Amen.
And that's where we got to walk in that way. You know, as we talk about building our faith, as we build our faith, in our faith-building campaign, we're building our faith in Jesus' finished works.
Mm-hmm.
Our faith is getting stronger that, yes, he did all this. God came down, walked on the earth, did this. And I receive it. Our faith is saying, yes, I take that. Yes, I believe that. Yes, I have faith in that. And as we have faith in that, now we walk in that righteousness. We live in that faithfulness. And we can now do the things that God said we could do.
Yeah.
We have to be believers to do the things that God said we could do. If you don't believe in God, if you don't believe the works that Jesus did, you cannot speak words of faith and expect results. If you're an unbeliever, nothing will happen. It will not happen for the unbelievers. Now, we can pray for the unbelievers because we have faith and things can happen. But an unbeliever cannot proclaim words of faith because they have no faith. They have no belief in God. But we are believers. We believe that Jesus did this. We believe that God fulfilled the plan and predestined it. And we believe, I got it. I'm glorified. I'm glorified.
I am glorified.
I am the glory of God.
I am the glory of God.
I have it.
I have it.
Now walk in it.
In Jesus'
name. Amen.